Today, I want to take some time just to look at something a little different. Normally, as you know, we studied the book of Luke as we're going through the New Testament. But I had yesterday from 6 in the morning to about 2 in the afternoon, I was volunteering with the Lawrence Police as a chaplain. So we had a full day doing a couple things. And I just didn't feel really comfortable with my preparation for the message. So I just started thinking, Lord, is there something that you want to say maybe a little bit different? And that's going to be today's message. As much as I'm standing in front of you today, you see me. I think, you guys see me? Yeah. How many are sorry you see me? No. But anyway, I believe this message. Just as much, I believe this message is for us. For us today. It's God's timing for this message. It's a message that those that have been here before or for a while have heard in a different way. I try to come back to this message maybe every 5 years. I think it's been 3 years. It's not the same message, but it's the same thoughts, a lot of the same thoughts that we see here. So I believe it's very important. It's a very important opportunity that we have for us as a fellowship. See, prior to March of last year, there were things that we called normal, pre-COVID days. COVID hit us, and we always wanted to be respectful, but we wanted to follow the Lord in what He would have us do. So we had to find that balance. I felt that we've done a pretty good job at that, not that we didn't make mistakes or, you know, we could learn. If we had to go through it again, I think we would have learned things that are helpful in that way. So He took us into COVID, so to speak, as a church. How do we do that? We were respectful. I had two friends, one friend up in Chicago. He said to the fellowship up there, don't wear masks. Don't wear masks. For some reason, the church split over that statement. There's another friend in Cincinnati, and he said, well, I'm going to require us to wear a mask. That church split over that. I'm not kidding you. So I decided not to say anything. It was far safer, far safer. So but I'm just saying, we allowed you guys to choose what you wanted to do. We supported those that wanted to wear masks and they wanted to stay home. We supported them, obviously, the online efforts that we had. We learned a lot through that. Those that didn't, we just continued this. So we wanted to be very respectful as we go through that going in. To COVID, we had to learn as a fellowship how to go into that. After we're into it, we had to learn how to walk through it, you know. And believe it or not, as a fellowship, it takes a little bit to make sure that we're walking through it, always checking, making sure we're doing the right things. There's government. We had the mask police come one time. I call them the mask police. They came and they weren't happy with us, okay. Somebody had visited us on a Sunday and they reported us that not everybody had a mask. So they showed up to us. And so I guess I can tell this. I'm not sure. So anyway, I'll find out if I can do this anyway. But, you know, I want to be respectful to the Indianapolis mayor. But we're also here under Lawrence under another mayor, Steve Collier. And so I called I know the mayor. We're not buddy buddies, but we go. He's a Christian man. And we go and we pray on the third Thursday of every month. And he invites us into his conference room and we pray for him. We actually lay hands on him and pray for him too. And that's really neat. So I called Steve and I said, Mayor, I just got visited by the mask police. And he goes, oh, don't worry about it, Bill. If they come back, just tell them I told you that it's okay not to wear masks. he actually said, He said this. He said, throw me under the bus. And I said, okay, I'll do that. So, you know, I don't know. So I'm just saying that because how hard it is to walk in the midst of that. And so we tried to do the best that we could, and we pray that we didn't offend anybody. Then, now, how do we transition out of it? So we're, as I said, we're going to make some changes to go back to what we were. Gently, I pray wisely. And being protections that is necessary and all that. So we're in the midst of that. I believe today this message is designed by God to help us come out of where we are and to go forward where we are. It's very important. So I'm not trying to oversell this, but I think it's very important, this message and what it's going to speak to. I'm going to actually ask you guys to participate at the end of the service. So we'll see how that goes. Okay? So keep praying. Thank you for the big out loud okay there. Yeah. So Romans chapter 12, you guys there? Okay. You need a Bible? These guys love to give Bibles out. Over there, you just missed one. Anybody else? Sonny, way in the back row. Way in the back row, Sonny. I know you can't see that, but that's it. And those that are connecting via internet, thank you for being with us, and you'll be able to participate too. So we're very thankful for you being with us too. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Now, just to share a little bit, what I've done, I've now, for a couple years, I tried to pray through these two verses every morning, every day. I've shared this with you before, but I still do it. Notice it's Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, your lives, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your act of worship. I'm going to leave us an opportunity to present our lives this morning, and you'll see how we'll do that at the end. It goes on, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many want to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life today? By show of hands. Amazing. The ushers will come to get you and you can leave. Now, powerful two verses, are they not? They challenge me. I try not to just out of rote repeat these. I try to go through it and think and pray for it. I don't want to be conformed to this world. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, that I might know what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God today for my life. And so I'm not trapped. It's not bondage. It's not legalism or anything. But it's my act of worship that I want to present this to the Lord and do that. So we're going to have an opportunity, as I said, to do that and to pray, to present ourselves to the Lord in a very special way. Now go to Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5. After I pray Romans chapter 12, 1 through 2, I go to Galatians chapter 5. There's other scriptures that I go to, but we won't go there. But this one I wanted to go to. Verse 16, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, we'll start with, where Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and notice it says, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I find when I walk in the flesh, I don't fulfill the desire of the Spirit. Anybody else find that? I mean, it's true. But I find if I walk in the Spirit, then I don't fulfill the desires of the flesh as easily, you know, or I don't. And so I thank the Lord that He's not looking at me and saying, don't you dare walk in the flesh, or don't you move to the left, or don't you move to the right. That's not our Lord. But He will say, come unto me, and I will do something in your life. You know, I'll pour myself out into your life. And then I find because I'm in love with Him and He loves me that I naturally don't want to go to the flesh. Now, there's the Romans chapter 7 reality. There's a battle. There's warfare going on. I get all of that. But I find He is so good that He just wants us to love Him. Love Him. I don't know about you guys. That's complicated enough for me, just loving Him. And so I believe this is part of it that we see here. But notice, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so as we go through this message, we're going to talk about the Spirit and being empowered by the Holy Spirit, that we might not walk in the flesh, but we would walk according to God's will and purposes. But let's look here at verse 17, just for a moment, a little bit through verse 21. We see what the flesh is all about. It says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So there's a warfare. Every one of us has a warfare. If you would tell me today that there's no warfare in your life, then I would have a hard time believing that, because Scripture says there is warfare, spiritual warfare. But notice he says in verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're under the law of the Spirit. And He guides you, He empowers you, and He illuminates the words, and He directs us, and all of that. That's much better than trying to do it in a legalistic fashion. But he names, notice, the works of the flesh. None of us want to go there. Verse 19, he says they are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice, those that are given over, this is their lifestyle, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So there's a warning. We want to stay away from that. We don't want our lives that way. Doesn't mean there's not going to be a battle, because there is a battle. But there's a difference when we battle than a person that is given over to something. Now, that young man, I don't want to pick on the young man that killed those eight people, but there was something going on in his life that wasn't good, obviously. Something very good. And so walking in the flesh is a dangerous thing. It's a very dangerous thing. But there's the other side. Look at verse 22. As we walk in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ, if we belong to Christ, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That is a wonderful verse. I could go off on that and teach on that forever. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, it's right in the middle of that verse, because we have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That's our spiritual person. That's who we yield to. It's that battle that goes on. There's the flesh and there's the spirit. Where does the warfare take place? In our soul. What's our soul? Our emotions, our intellect. That's where our freedom of choice is. But there's that constant battle going on. So we want to yield to the Spirit. And he goes on, and then in verse 25, he says, if we walk in the Spirit, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So today we live in the Spirit. If you're born again, you know that if you die today, you would go to heaven. The Spirit of God dwells inside of you. You live in the Spirit. You're a spiritual person. Amen? Isn't that powerful? To think the creator of the universe, God himself, would come and live inside of mankind. We're going to look at some scriptures about that. That is an amazing thing. And we need that. Amen? We need that. And so that's why he says, if we live in the Spirit, which we do if we're born again, let us also walk in the Spirit. So how do we walk in the Spirit? Very simply, I'm not going to complicate it. Go with me, please, to Matthew chapter 4. I want to talk now a little bit about walking in the Spirit. Three things. There's many more, but just three things I want to emphasize. Matt will love this. I'm picking on Matt again. I'm not supposed to pick on him. On the morning, he's going to Dallas Theological Seminary. Pray for him. No, you guys were supposed to laugh. Okay, no, that's a great place that he is. But they have three-point sermons a lot of times. So I've got 3 points, okay? He'll be proud of me. 3 points we're going to look at today. First one is right here, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. How do we walk in the Spirit? Very simple, the words of Jesus. But he, Jesus, answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Simple enough? We become people of the Word of God. There needs to be a decision in your life, decision in my life, daily, but initially, that you're going to be a person of the Word. You're going to have your loved ones in the Word of God. You're going to have your family in the Word of God. You're going to have yourself in the Word of God. Because Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You want to walk in the Spirit? Then be in the Word. If you don't want to walk in the Spirit, don't be in the Word. It's your choice. The more we're in the Word, the better and safer that we are. It's that simple. It's not complicated, what I find in the Scripture. It teaches us. Proverbs, like you go through Proverbs. I love Proverbs. I try to read it every single month. So then in 12 times I've read it, each proverb, each year. I've known the Lord for over 40 years, so you can add that up, how many times I've read Proverbs. But I do that because it sets boundaries for me. And automatically I know, no, I don't want to go there because Proverbs says this. I'll go here because Proverbs says that. So the Word of God guides us. Every single word. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. What does every word mean? Every word. From Genesis, what's the beginning of Genesis? You are so great. Bible scholars, okay. So what's the end? Revelation what? What chapter? 22. What verse? 21. 21. You looked it up. I saw you. You went there real quick, didn't you? Every word. I don't know how many words that are, there are, how many verses there are. I know there's 66 books, so I know that one, you know, how many chapters and all that, but everything, even Leviticus, okay? You know, and that's a beautiful worship book. So we are people of the Word. How do we walk in the Spirit? We're in the Word. It's that complicated. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7, please. Right there, just a couple more to the right there. Verse 7. How do we walk in the Spirit? Jesus himself says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, what? Receives. He who seeks, what? Finds. And to him who knocks, what? It will be opened. None other than Jesus Christ said that. So he's telling us that prayer is powerful. Prayer is very, very powerful. He goes on, notice in verse 9, or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also for them. For this is the law and the prophets. And so we ask, we pray. How do we walk in the Spirit? Word of God, point number one. How do we walk in the Spirit? Prayer, point number two. Just being men and women of prayer. And it's very important. God meets us in that way. Go to Acts chapter 1, please. We're going to go back to it in a moment, but I just wanted to introduce this, which you guys know. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus himself again said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The third point is receiving his power, the power that he has for us, and we want to talk about that just for a little bit. In receiving that power, walking in the midst of that power. We're in the Word of God. We're a people of prayer, but we depend upon the power of God in everything that we do. If we're in the Word, we depend upon His power. If we're in prayer, we depend upon His power. If we walk through life, we depend upon His power working in our lives. It's very, very important. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. He comes upon you to endue you with power from on high. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2 of the book of Acts. But when the day of Pentecost, this was when the church was first birthed, the day of Pentecost had come, there were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, and as the Spirit gave them utterance. And we're going to ask, as we close today, if you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a beautiful relationship that we can have with God. But it goes on, look at verse 5. It says, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. This issue of scripture here is a study in itself, but just note it. Verse 7, then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and other parts of Libya. Joining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, who hear them speaking in our own languages, the wonderful works of God. Notice what they spoke. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? It is important to be able to answer that. What does this mean? What was going on? The church was being birthed. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune God, was coming to dwell inside of people to endue them with power from on high, that they might be witnesses for Jesus Christ. So it was important that we would understand that. And then notice verse 13, others mocking, saying they're full of new wine. But Peter, verse 14, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to the men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, 9 a.m. in the morning, approximately. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Peter was a great man of God. What he did, he went to the word of God to answer the situation that was right before him. And look, he goes back to Joel. Verse 17, it shall come to pass in the last days, says the Lord, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Bring it on, Lord. Amen. Bring it on. I'll pour my spirit out on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Someone told me one time, they looked me right in the face and they said, Bill, you know why old men dream dreams? And I said, no. He says, because they're mostly asleep. He looked right at me when he said, that wasn't nice, was it? I don't think that was nice at all. But he goes back to the Old Testament. He just goes to the special thing that Joel was talking about, that there's going to be an outpouring of God's Spirit. The Spirit of God is going to come. It says, I will pour out my spirit, verse 18, and on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they shall prophesy. Today, do we want God to pour out his spirit upon us? Let me ask that again. Today, do you want God to pour out his spirit upon you? Do you believe that he can do that? Yeah, I believe he can too. Go with me to John chapter 14, please. Just a few more scriptures to consider. John chapter 14. None other than the words of Jesus, he addressed this, beginning in verse 12, John chapter 14. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Underline that. That's you and I. He will, she will, we will do also. And greater works than these, he will do. Why is that? Because he says, I go to the Father. As he was here on earth, he became us. He was there in human form. He would go to be with God in heaven, and then his spirit would come, as we're going to see here, and then all of a sudden the church is alive, and now it's not just Jesus, but it's God himself living inside of human beings. And that's how it would be more numerous works, not greater works. And I mean, he did the greatest work of all, did he not? Dying on the cross for us. It's numerous works. But whatever, then he goes in verse 13, but whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. So we're going to ask him to do something in prayer here, that the Father may be glorified in our midst. But notice in verse 14, he says, if you ask anything in my name, what's the next four words? How many believe that? If we ask anything in his name, in Jesus' name, I will do it. We believe that? Okay, great. Now, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray, I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Who's the helper? Holy Spirit. That he, the helper, the Holy Spirit, may abide with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, another name we have for him, tells us about him. He brings truth. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you, us today as Christians, we know him, for he dwells with you. He's always with us, and he will be in you. Jesus was pointing to what we saw in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit would come and step into human beings' lives. And notice in verse 18, he says, "And I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." How does Jesus come to us? He comes in the person of the Holy Spirit. Go down to verse 25 of chapter 14 here. "These things," Jesus said, "I've spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Amen? We are not to be afraid. God does not give us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. We trust him in that. We depend upon that. And he works in our lives in powerful, powerful ways. Go to John chapter 16. Again, the words of Jesus, just for a moment. Beginning in verse 5. It says, "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, here it is, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away." He's speaking to the disciples, but he speaks to us today as his church, his people. "For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment and sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of the world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However," notice verse 13, "when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He's a person, he's a gentleman, he's powerful, he's God himself. But he wants to come and be among us. He wants to come and be in us, and I believe he wants to come and endue us with power from on high to be a witness unto him. Go with me, please, to Acts chapter 8. Did I say we're almost finished? I have to say that at least three times or it won't work. Acts chapter 8. We see an interesting thing here, just to give you an example of the coming of the Holy Spirit upon people's lives. Beginning in verse 4 of Acts chapter 8. Everybody there? Not yet? Okay. How come? Everybody there? Okay. Anybody not there? Because I'm going to embarrass you if you are. You know? Beginning in verse 4. "Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere, preaching the word." Persecution had come to the church. They started scattering. What were they doing? Preaching the word. "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them." Notice what he did. Underline that. That's what we should always do. "And the multitudes, with one accord, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city." I guess so. But there, verse 9, "There was a certain man named Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was something great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, 'This man is the great power of God.' And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But," verse 12, "when they believed," notice these group of people believed, they trusted in, relied upon, adhered to the truth of Jesus Christ. "Philip, and as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." They were water baptized. "Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done." Now look at verse 14. "Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria," the individuals there had received the word of God. They sent none other than Peter and John to them because that was curious. They wanted to know Samaritans, those that were, you know, looked down upon by the Jewish, the Samaritans here. Yeah. Notice in verse 15, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Not that they would be saved. They recognized that they were saved. They were water baptized. But there was another need, another blessing, another opportunity that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. This is what we're going to do in just a moment. We're going to give an opportunity. Some of you will be choosing to, I imagine, to be anointed with oil to receive prayer that way. Others will just want to do it that way. But here they laid hands on them, and we're going to do that and receive the Holy Spirit into our lives. Is that okay? Okay, we'll do that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul the Apostle said, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. For those that are Christians, for those that have prayed before, God, just fill me. Just fill me with your Spirit. Whatever you got, I want every bit of it. Then this here, Scripture, chapter 5, verse 18, it literally means be being filled. I want to be filled every day. Don't you guys? Every day, I want that. In John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this Jesus spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So to receive the Spirit into our lives, it's very important that we would do that. Again, a similar scripture as we read in Matthew chapter 7, but with a different emphasis, Luke chapter 11, it says, if anyone asks for bread from a father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, here's the different emphasis in Luke, will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask him? I don't know about you guys, but I've read that scripture and I've just believed, God, give me all that you have. That's all that I want. I remember one day that I was, Vi and I were saved for about a month, and I've shared this before, but we went to a seminar, and they were talking about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I listened to that, and he said at the end, he said, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you want the Holy Spirit to come upon you, to endue you with power from on high. If you want all that he has for you, raise your hand. I went like that. If I went like that, and we just right in the beginning said, Lord, whatever you want, we want all of that. How many today would like to be prayed for that God's Spirit would come be poured out upon you in that way? I know that sounds easy, and thank you for the hands, but I think it's very important for us as a fellowship. God has brought us to this point as he's taken us ahead. We're going to need the endowment with on high, the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I stand before you as an under-shepherd to encourage you, to love you, to do anything I can that you would grow, but also I have a responsibility to warn us that it's going to get tough. I really believe it. So I believe God's Holy Spirit is bringing us to the point to give us an opportunity to pray, and we want to pray for you. Is that okay? So if you want God to pray for you, stand up right now, please. Us to pray for you, and God would bless. Worship team, and I'm going to pray a general prayer, but then we're going to worship in song. You guys pray unto the Lord, and then we're going to pray a very special prayer at the time, at the end of that, doing that too. As we're in this song here, if you would like to be anointed with oil, then I'd like you to come up and just stand with me here, you know. And if you want to stay there, feel free to stay there. No pressure. But if you want to be anointed with oil, we're going to anoint you with oil. In the scripture, it says we are to do that. That's a very special thing to do that. So let's pray right now. Father, we thank you so much for the simplicity of your word. And Lord, I submit this time into your hands. Holy Spirit, that you just speak to each and every one of us. That today, Lord, we simply could come and just as we started with Romans, we surrender. We surrender. Our act of worship is to surrender our lives to you. We come and believe your word. We stand upon it as we've looked at it and considered it today. Now, Lord, we're approaching you in prayer and knowing that you answered the prayers. But we come now, Lord, for that which I believe is so important for us individually, but as a fellowship, the endowment from on high, the work of your Spirit in our lives with power, that our lives would be changed, the word would come alive, our prayer life would grow, we'd hunger for you. Lord, we would surrender to you. And so as we now come, Lord, we pray that your Spirit would move among us and work in our lives, that your will be accomplished. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to pray again, but now as we sing this song, if you'd like to be anointed with oil, just come forward and stand right here and we're going to anoint you with oil. Please do that. Just come on up. Go ahead.